We are joined this morning by our Duluth Mayor, Emily Larson, to talk a little bit about the Rebuild Duluth program. Emily, good morning. I apologize in advance. You'll have to listen carefully for the squeaky little questions.
Oh, I love you're working hard this morning, Lisa. Thank you.
You betcha. So the city, you know, last week we had a conversation with Adam Fulton, and we talked about some of the updates to the zoning and the building codes to bring Duluth into alignment with the state of Minnesota, which had changed some building codes, and also some new options in housing are coming to the fore. I'm sure the building codes at one time were created to prevent somebody from putting up a tiny little shack and saying, here's a place you can live. Well, now we think that the idea of a tiny little shack is a groovy place to live. So times change and people change. And
that's right.
The city also wants to pick our collective brains for how to simplify the development of affordable housing. Those are two very different questions. Let's talk about the first part of the question, which is going to involve creative thinkers and people that have been pondering this idea for a long time, and people that are designers and architects and free thinkers at heart. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm super excited about this idea. And first of all, thanks for having me on today, Lisa, and for your interest in Rebuild Duluth. I am proud to, work with a team that's open to new ideas. And what we have heard over and over is, when it comes to big issues and challenges like how to do more affordable housing, a lot of people have ideas. And it could be that some of them could work. And it's our job to be a home of innovation as well as, municipal reliance and delivering core services. But cities can lead and be innovative. So our idea is to take parcels of land that we have control over and site control over in partnership with HRA, in partnership with tax forfeit and demolition sites that are ready to be developed and redeveloped. These are infill sites. They have utilities. They are on streets. They're near public transportation, and let's see what ideas people have to do something with affordability on that site. And if an idea comes forward, a proof of concept idea comes forward in which there can be factors controlled to ensure affordability, we will provide that site for free. And our idea is that housing costs a certain amount. On one hand, affordable housing is just kind of math. You know, there's a certain cost to land, there's a cost to do utilities, there's a cost to construction. And this is one of the ways we can input that math to ideally bring the cost down. So we think we're going to find some really creative ideas. We think we're going to find some partnerships with maybe construction trades or with a construction training program. We think we will really generate a lot of ideas that just aren't being presented right now.
Well, it's always amazing, even at, a social gathering, you figure you start to talk to somebody and you thought you knew everything about them and they've got a certain job and they do this or that. And then you find out that at one time they were an architect or they were a designer or they were a city mm-hmm. planner or they were a whatever. So people have a lot of layers underneath the surface.
That's right.
I
do think it's neat as a city to just try things. And it could be that it won't work. I mean, it could be that we will find out this experiment is not one that changes the math number significantly to keep something affordable. But we would have tried it. And that's what I'm really, really excited about.
I was talking with Adam last week, and we were talking about these 25-foot lots that are such a problem because the setback says it's got to be 6 feet in from the property line. And then at one point, a house had to be at least 20 feet wide. And so it got, obviously in this instance, those numbers didn't work either. Talk about how many lots are available and are they all 25 foot lots or are some of them just kind of goofy for some reason or another?
No, that's a great question. We have multiple sites, some of which have more than one lot on them. And so there's the potential to do, duplex or triplex or more than one building on those lots. So some of them are, multiple lots put together. Some of them are 25-foot lots. As I recall the map, I think what we have done is tried to be strategic in taking lots that really are buildable, that We have not taken some of the more challenging lots that that add additional factors or oddly shaped. Many of them are small and narrow, but many of them are also adjacent to other open lots. And so I think we've done our best homework to try to set a canvas that is pretty broad and open to fresh ideas.
So the second part of Rebuild Duluth's mission statement, if you will, has to do with how to simplify affordable housing. And, of course, a lot of people want to weigh in on that. There's a constant discussion. A friend of mine who had lived in Ventura for a while said that their city had the policy that if you were building any kind of housing in the community, there were automatically amended X number of affordable or low-income housing units to that. And that was just right across the board. That's been brought up for Duluth. That's been proposed for housing projects. It hasn't flown. What's your sense of that?
That's inclusionary zoning, and there are lots of different models in which that happens. What we are doing currently, we do not have a formal policy on the books. We are a community in transition, and I think in a year or two or 5 years, we could drive the development conversation and make that a requirement. We are very, very clear that if you need public subsidy from the city of Duluth, we will have that conversation with you about affordability, and we will push it. And we will offer and be as nimble as we can in terms of helping to add to the number of affordable housing units. And, you know, the conversations I'm having right now with developers, they're very clear about that. And they are walking in with ideas that are 10% or 20% affordable housing because, A, they know that that's one way to get me and other policymakers closer to supporting their project, and, B, most developers that I know are interested in a project that really meets community need. And I think there is really well-established anecdotal and research evidence to outline that we really need more affordability. And, you know, part of my best hope is that we are spreading affordability across the city, that we are not concentrating it in particular neighborhoods. Every single neighborhood in Duluth is a beautiful one where people can live, work, and play. And they should, you know, all people of all income should have access to every neighborhood. And so inclusionary zoning on its face is really an exciting idea. How you implement it and how cities, you know, are choosing to embed affordability across the city. You know, there are ways to do that can include inclusionary zoning and can include, you know, just very direct conversations on expectations.
Because I think I caught something on social media the other day. I think it was celebrating, 5 years of the Steve O'Neill housing. And it seems as though that was perhaps one of the last projects that was built that was definitely, you know, intended for a low-income and underserved population. And it's been wonderful, you know, from the standpoint of a person who lives in a university community to see some of these, you know, big apartment complexes go up. But, man, those rents are absolutely out of control for the average person. I have a fairly decent job, and at least I did until I started to talk like this. And and I couldn't afford those rents. And we're looking at another project now downtown that, again, is going to be putting up beautiful apartments, but the rents are out of reach of most people.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting? There's a few things going on. We have a tight housing market overall, and so that is making a pinch on every single income level. And so we need overall more housing, period. We need 3,800 units of affordable housing, in addition to needing housing that is market rate and single family and condos, which we need because, you know, we have a growing population base and people are searching for that particular product. We do need strictly affordable units, and we know that number is about 3,800. Last week, we announced that the state of Minnesota is investing with the city of Duluth and St. Louis County and One Roof and Center City Housing $17 million in affordable units that will add 72 units to the affordable housing portfolio in the city of Duluth. Part of what's interesting and hard about making affordable housing is that somebody has to pay the gap. It costs, you know, X number of dollars to build this building, this unit. And if you cannot generate the rent or the purchase price for that, somebody has to fill the gap. And so we do think the city has a role in that. It's one of the reasons why we have the Affordable Housing Task Force, the Mayor's Task Force, set up. We do think the state has a role in that. I do think that private business has a role in that because they need employees that can pay rents that fit their pay scale. So there's a lot of people we need to bring into the conversation. And it's okay to be building units that fit different price points, but it's not okay to just kind of let affordability slip away. And if we aren't very specific and goal-oriented about that, it will slip away. So I'm excited about that $17 million. I'm eager for the recommendations of the task force, which should come out in February. And so I think we're about to see a tremendous amount of traction with affordability because we're prioritizing it and really investing in strategies that can change the current configuration.
Well, I realize this is the completely wrong community for it, but we also need a lot more housing that is one level. I'm just saying,
right.
As a person who's getting older, and
right.
It's like, and this is the part where you're supposed to say, okay, boomer, but a bunch of us, a bunch of us are getting older and we want to buy, you know, a nice
that's
either
right.
house, condo, whatever at some point that's one level that
that's
we can
right.
access and where we can, if possible, age in place. So a tiny house for me is like, yeah, but the bedrooms are always up a ladder.
Yeah, no, you know, that's exactly right. And that's what I mean by we need more across different market points, because what we are having, too, is we are seeing people age in their home. They want to stay in their neighborhood. They want to stay in the city. They're, in some cases, staying in their home longer than what is safe for them and in the best interest of their social connection and in the best interest of their mobility, because they can't find what they need. And while they're staying in that home, that is a home that could be at an affordable price point for a family that needs it. So, you know, this is where housing gets really complicated really fast. But one of the things I have heard over and over and over again is the need for housing where people can age in place, housing for seniors, affordable housing for seniors, because there is that really very real domino effect that when one person moves, it frees up a unit for somebody else who can afford that price point. But for me, it's also about wanting people to live in housing that suits their, you know, physical capacity, that gives them the confidence they need to, you know, get in and out of their house, to their car, to be socially connected. And when people aren't matched with the housing that fits their need, they're isolated. You know, they don't have the money to pay for their rent or to pay for anything that keeps them connected to the neighborhood. So there's really a lot of holistic thinking for me that goes into how we approach housing.
I have a friend who lives in a very small town, and she was looking to buy a house. And I suppose the town is under 1,000 people, and the only time a house ever becomes available is when someone moves into care. And so you have
right.
to just be ready.
Right.
To jump. And then unfortunately, there are enough people, the houses are cheap enough, and there are enough people that, you know, people whiz in with cash and say, we, you know, here. And so it can really be challenging. The issues of housing in rural America are a
That's
whole
right.
different challenge.
That's right. And, you know, what's been interesting is, I just went through my third election. One as councilor, the first as mayor, one as mayor, and my second one now as mayor. This is the very first door-knocking season where people were persistent and insistent on housing, which is terrific. I need public support for that issue to be able to prioritize it. But it's also what they're finding nationally, which is that this is the first time that nationally voters, and this is bipartisan and multipartisan, are saying that we need affordable housing. So it's fascinating how much it is becoming a very real and pressing and urgent issue for people. And while it's frustrating because it takes a while to undo, you know, or get strategies off the ground that can help target it and resource that, it's so important that people are talking about it. And it's so important for me to be able to bring forward the projects we need to for voters and residents and city councilors to be very vocal in expectations and need. I have a hard time moving the needle if we don't have the public support and pressure to bring those units online.
Emily, it's been wonderful talking with you. Thank you so much for your forbearance this morning. And I'm looking forward to finding out about what the task force comes back with and having more conversations with you on this topic in the future. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Lisa. I hope you feel better.
Yeah, me too. Thanks. Emily Larson, the mayor of Duluth, our guest this morning talking about the Rebuild Duluth program.